a half hour of Mind Webs. Short stories from the worlds of speculative fiction. Web story this time comes from the book Off the Beaten Orbit, edited by Judith Merrill. This is Fritz Lieber's The Night He Cried.
I glanced down my neck secretly at the two snowy hillocks, ruby peaked, that were pushing out my blouse tautly without the aid of a brassiere. I decided they more than do. So I turned away scornfully as his fast, top-down convertible cruised past my street lamp. I struck my hip and a big match against the fluted column and lit a cigarette. I was really my room to a key, or rather to a V-neckline. I must tell you that my command of Earth idiom and illusion is remarkable, but if you'd had my training, you wouldn't wonder. The convertible slowed down and backed up. I smiled. I'd been certain that my magnificently formed milk glands would turn the trick. I puffed on my cigarette languorously.
Hey, babe.
Right from the first, I'd known it was the man I was supposed to contact. Handsome, hatchet-faced, 6 or 7 feet tall. Quite a creature. Male, as they say. I hopped into his car, vaulting over the low door before he opened it. We zoomed off through New York's purple, smelly twilight. What's your name, big male? Scorning to answer, he stripped me with his eyes. But I had confidence in my milk glands. Lord knows I'd been hours perfecting them. Slick in the lane, isn't it?
That's possible.
Well then, what are we waiting for? I asked him, nudging him with the leftmost of my beautifully conical milk glands.
Look here, baby. I'm the one who dispenses sex and justice in this area.
I snuggled submissively under his encircling right arm, still nudging him now and again with my left milk gland. The convertible sped. The skyscraper shrank, exfoliated, became countryside. The convertible stopped. As the hand of his encircling arm began to explore my prized possessions, I drew away a bit, not frustratingly, and informed him, Slicky, dear, I am from Galaxy Center.
What's that, a magazine publisher?
He demanded hotly, being somewhat inflamed by my cool milk glands. And we are interested in how sex and justice are dispensed in all areas, I went on, disregarding his interruption and his somewhat juvenile fondlings. To be bold, we suspect that you may be somewhat misled about this business of sex. Vertical, centimeter-deep furrows creased his brow, his head poised above mine like a hawk's.
What are you talking about, baby?
Briefly, Slicky, you do not seem to feel that sex is for the production of progeny or for the mutual solace of two creatures. You seem to think... His rage exploded into action. He grabbed a great big gun out of the glove compartment. I sprang to my two transmuted nether tentacles. Most handsome gams, if I, the artist, do say so. He jabbed the muzzle of the gun into my midriff. That's exactly what I mean, Slicky, I managed to say before my beautiful midriff, which I had been at such pains to perfect, erupted into smoke and ghastly red splatter. I did a backward flip-flop out of the car and lay still, a most fetching corpse with a rucked-up skirt. As the convertible snorted off triumphantly, I snagged hold of the rear bumper, briefly changing my hand back to a tentacle for better gripping. Before the pavement had abraded more than a few grams of my substance, I pulled myself up onto the bumper where I proceeded to reconstitute my vanished midriff with material from the air, the rest of my body, and the paint on the trunk lid. On this occasion, the work went rapidly, with no artistic gropings. since I had the curves memorized from the first time I'd worked them out. Then I touched up my abrasions, stripped myself, whipped myself up a snazzy silver lamé evening frock out of the chromium from the bumper, and put in time creating costume jewelry out of the taillight and the rest of the chrome. The car stopped at a bar and Slicky slid out. For a moment, his proud profile was silhouetted against the smoky glow. Then he was inside. I threw away the costume jewelry and climbed over the folded top and popped down on the leather upholstered seat, scarcely a kilogram lighter than when I first sat there. The minutes dragged. To pass them, I mentally reviewed the thousands and some basic types of mutual affection on the million plus planets. Not forgetting the one and only basic part of love. There was a burst of jukebox jazz. Footsteps tracked from the bar toward the convertible. I leaned back comfortably with my silver-filmed milk lines dramatically highlighted. Hi, Slicky. For all of 10 seconds, he stood there, canted forward a little, like a wooden Indian that's just been nudged from behind and is about to topple. Then, with the naive ingenuity that rather touched me, he asked huskily,
Hey, have you got a twin sister?
Could be, I said with a shrug that jogged my milk glands deliciously.
Well, what are you doing in my car?
Waiting for you. He considered that as he slowly and carefully walked around the car and got behind the wheel, never taking his eyes off me. I nudged him in my usual manner. He jerked away.
What are you up to?
Why are you surprised, Slicky? I've heard this sort of thing happens to you all the time.
What sort of thing?
Girls turning up in your car, your bar, your bedroom, everywhere.
Where'd you hear that?
I read it in your spiked mouth books.
But what are you really up to?
Slicky, I just love you. This statement awakened in him an irritation so great that it overrode his uneasiness about me, for it cupped me in the face so suddenly that I almost forgot and changed it back to my top tentacle.
I make the advances around here, baby.
Completely under control again, I welled a tiny trickle of blood out of the left-hand corner of my gorgeous mouth. Anything you say, Slicky dear, I assented submissively and cuddled up against him in a prim, girlish way to which he could hardly take exception. But I must have bothered or at least puzzled him, for he drove slowly, his dark, eaved eyes following an invisible tennis ball that bounded between me and the street ahead. Abruptly, the eaves lifted and he smiled.
Hey, look, I just got an idea for a story. There's this girl from Galaxy Center, see? I mean, she's sort of from the center of the galaxy where everything's radioactive. Now, there's this guy that's got her up in his attic. She's the most beautiful girl in the universe, and he loves her like crazy. But she's all streaming with hard radiations, and it'll kill him if he touches her.
Yes, Slicky? And then?
That's all. Don't you get it?
Yes, Slicky. My statement seemed to satisfy him, but he was still edgy. He stopped the car in front of an apartment hotel that thrust toward the stars with a dark presumptuousness. He got out on the street side and walked around the rear end and suddenly stopped. I followed him. He was studying the gray bumper and the patch of raw sheet metal off which I'd used the paint. He looked around at me where I stood sprayed with silver lamé in the revealing lamplight.
Wipe your chin.
Why not kiss the blood off it, Slicky? He nervously stalked into the foyer so swiftly he might have been trying to get away from me. However, he made no move to stop me when I followed him into the tiny place and the even tinier elevator. In the latter cubicle, I maneuvered so as to give him a series of breathtaking scenic views of the Grand Tetons that rose behind the plunging silver horizon of my neckline, and he unfroze considerably. By the time he opened the door of his apartment, he had got so positively cordial that he urged me across the threshold with a casual spank. It was just as I had visualized it, the tiger skins, the gun racks, the fireplace, the open bedroom door, the bar just beside it, the adventures of Spike Mallet in handsomely tooled leather bindings, the vast divan covered with zebra skin. On the last was stretched a beautiful ice-faced blonde in a filmy negligee. This was a complication for which I wasn't prepared. I stood rooted by the door while Slicky walked swiftly past me. The blonde slithered to her feet. There was murder in her glacial eyes. You two timing rat! Her hand darted under her negligee. Slicky snaked under the left-hand side of his jacket. Then it hit me what was going to happen. She would bring out a small but deadly silver-plated automatic. But before she could level it, Slicky's cannon would make a red rune of her midriff. There I was, standing 20 feet away from both of them. And this poor girl couldn't reconstitute herself. Swifter than thought, I changed my arms back to upper dorsal tentacles and jerked back both Slicky's and the girl's elbows. They turned around, considerably startled, and saw me standing 20 feet away. I turned my tentacles back to arms before they'd noticed them. Their astonishment increased. But I knew I had won only a temporary respite. Unless something happened, Slicky's trigger blissful rage would swiftly be refocused on this foolish, fragile creature. To save her, I had to divert his ire to myself. Get that tramp out of here, I ordered Slicky from the corner of my mouth as I walked past him to the bar.
Take it easy, baby.
I poured myself a liter of scotch. I had to open a second bottle to complete the measure, and downed it. I really didn't need it, but the assorted molecules were congenial building blocks, and I was rather eager to get back to normal weight. Haven't you got that tramp out of here yet?
Easy, baby.
That's telling her, Slicky. You two-timing rat, I plagiarized, whipping up my silver skirt as if to whisk a gun from my non-existent girdle. His cannon coughed. Always a good sportsman, I moved an inch so that the bullet, slightly misaimed, took me exactly in the right eye, messily blowing off the back of my head. I winked at Slicky with my left eye and fell back through the doorway into the bedroom darkness. I knew I had no time to spare. When a man shot one girl, he begins to lose his natural restraint. Lying on the floor, I reconstituted my eye and did a quick patch job on the back of my head in 17 seconds flat. As I emerged from the bedroom, they were entering into a clinch, each holding a gun lightly against the other's back. Slicky, I said, pouring myself a scant half-liter of scotch. I told you about that tramp. The ice blonde squawked, threw up her hands as if she'd had a shot of strychnine, and ran out of the door. I fancied I could feel the building tilt as she leaned on the elevator button. I downed the scotch and advanced, shattering the paralyzed space-time that Slicky seemed to be depending on as a defense. Slicky, let's get down to cases. I am indeed from Galaxy Center, and we very definitely don't like your attitude. We don't care what your motives are, or whether they are derived from jumbled genes, a curdled childhood, or a sick society. We simply love you, and we want you to reform. I grabbed him by a shivering shoulder that was now hardly higher than my waist, and dragged him into the bedroom, snatching up the rest of the scotch on the way. I switched on the light. The bedroom was a really lush love nest. I drained the scotch, there was about a half liter left, and faced the cowering Slicky. Now, do to me the thing you're always going to do to those girls, except you have to shoot them. He frothed like an epileptic, snatched out his cannon and emptied its magazine into various parts of my torso. But since he hit only two of my five brains, I wasn't bothered. I reeled back bloodily through the blue smoke and fell into the bathroom. I felt real crazy. Maybe I shouldn't have taken that last half liter. I reconstituted my torso faster even than I had my head, but my silver lamé frock was a mess. Not wanting to waste time and reluctant to use any more reconstituting energy, I stripped it off and popped into the off-the-shoulders evening dress the blonde had left laying over the edge of the bathtub. The dress wasn't a bad fit. I went back into the bedroom. Slicky was sobbing softly at the foot of the bed and gently beating his head against it. Slicky, about this love business. He sprang for the ceiling but didn't quite burst through it. Falling back, by chance, on his feet, he headed for the hall. Now, it wasn't in my orders from Galaxy Center that he run away and excite this world. In fact, my superiors had strictly forbidden such a happening. I had to stop Slicky, but I was a bit confused, perhaps fuddled by that last half-liter. I hesitated. Then he was too far away, had too big a start. To stop him, I knew I'd have to use tentacles. Swifter than thought, I changed them and shot them out. Slicky, I cried reassuringly, dragging him to me. Then I realized that in my excitement, instead of using my upper dorsal tentacles, I'd used the upper ventral ones I kept transmuted into my beautiful milk glands. I do suppose they looked rather strange to Slicky as they came out of the bosom of my off-the-shoulders evening dress and drew him to me. Frightening sounds came out of him. I let him go and tried to resume my gorgeous shape. By now, I was really confused. That last half-liter. And lost control of my transmutations. When I found myself turning my topmost tentacle into a milk gland, I gave up completely. And except for a lung and vocal cords, resumed my normal shape. It was quite a relief. After all, I had done what Galaxy Center had intended I should. From now on, the mere sight of a brassiere in a show window would be enough to give Slicky the shakes. Still, I was bothered about the guy. As I say, he touched me. I caressed him tenderly with my tentacles. Over and over again, I explained that I was just a help to this, and that Galaxy Center had selected me for the job, simply because my seven tentacles would transmute nicely into the seven extremities of the human female. Over and over again, I told him how I loved him. It didn't seem to help. Slicky Mullane continued to weep hysterically.
Off the Beaten Orbit, edited by Judith Merrill. This is Michael Henson speaking. Technical production for MindWebs by Leslie Hilsenhoff. MindWebs comes to you from WHA Radio in Madison, a service of University of Wisconsin Extension.